That's something that I got. Oh, you mean don't often get them, or that's just a new thing again?
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Now, the Sedra this week is Achrei Kedoshim, Achrei Mo Kedoshim. But the discourse, the Maima, which I've chosen, is one which, in fact, I don't think actually mentions the Sedra, although it was said on Shabbat Pashat Kedoshim. It was said on a week when Kedoshim was the Sedra, in 1984, 5744. Now, on the web, there are actually recordings of something about Achrimot and something about Kedoshim. So I try to select like something, not the same discourse. So so this one is about the theme of the beginning of Pirkei Avot, which we read at this time between Pesach and Shavuot. And it goes, if you look at the first page, on the theme of Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, this famous passage. Umasarali Yeshua, and he gave it to Joshua of Yeshua Lizakenim, and Joshua to the elders, Uzakenim Lanavim, and the elders gave it to the prophets, Unavim Masarua La Anshe Knesset Hagdola, and the prophets transmitted the Torah to the men of the great assembly. And then, now what this means is a sort of a chain of transmission, which the Rambam defines more specifically, which elders and which prophets and how it went from one to the next, or each one and his Bet Din, as it were, his law court. And then it comes to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the men of the Great Assembly, at the time of the beginning of the Second Temple. And then from there comes a further chain, all the way down to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, all the way down to Judah the Prince, who wrote the Mishnah. And then all those figures are mentioned in Pirkei Avot. And then, and Pirkei Avot is part of the Mishnah. There are six orders of the Mishnah. The first one is called Zeraim, which means seeds, and that's agricultural law, the agricultural laws of Judaism. The second one is, and in the agricultural laws, because it's the idea of harvesting wheat, baking bread, so then one has to make a blessing on the bread before one eats it and after one eats it. And since we're talking about blessings, we can talk about prayer in general, and the basic prayer is the Shema. So the beginning of Zeraim is a tractate called Brachot, which begins off with the saying of the Shema, talking about the saying of the Shema. Then the next order of the Mishnah is Moed, which means special times, Shabbat and festivals. The next order is Nashim, to do with marriage and divorce, women. The next order is Nizikin. Nizikin means damages. And it basically means issues concerning if one person's ox gored the ox belonging to another person and kills it, and how much do you have to pay, and how do you work out those issues, or if you find a lost article. So you find something in the street, two people chance on the same object in the street, and they have an argument. One says, I found it, the other one says, I found it. Or you're in a house, two people living in a shared courtyard, and then you want to divide up the courtyard. So these are the kind of subject which are there in Nizikin. At the end of Nizikin is Pirkei Avot, is tractate of this tractate, Ethics of the Fathers. And then comes Kodeshim, to do with sacred things and the temple, offerings in the temple, and Taharot, to do with purity and impurity. So it's interesting the position that this Mishnah comes. And here it then talks about the transmission of the Torah through the generations. And then most of what Pirkei Avot is about what would you say in one word, what is Ethics of the Fathers about? In fact, that gave
correct,
it away.
Correct behavior and morality.
Yes, exactly. Correct behavior right and morality. Thing. And in fact, the English title, which I said, is Ethics. Ethics of the Fathers. So it's about ethics. So it's about behavior, morality. You could call it the midot of the person. The emotional dimension of a person.
And
the way,
qualities.
Yes, the qualities. The way that's translated into behavior between people.
The measure of a man.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, the measure of a person. Midah is measure, and midah also means quality and also means emotion. So it's feelings. Yes, so that's a good way of defining it, the measure of a man. So so that is the beginning of this discourse, said, as I mentioned, in 1984. And it was on Shabbat Kedoshim, which we are now, Acharei and Kedoshim. The double Sedra has Kedoshim in it as well. Although, in fact, the discourse doesn't refer to Kedoshim. It does refer to another discourse said by the previous Rebbe, also on Shabbat Kedoshim. But it doesn't refer to the material from which relates to the Sedra of the week. But it's topical in the sense that it's Ethics of the Fathers, even though this coming week will be chapter 3 of Ethics of the Fathers. Because between Pesach and Shavuot, we begin the first one, the Shabbat after Pesach, and then for 6 weeks, and then finally is Shavuot. However, after Shavuot, most communities begin again, and through the whole summer, we say Ethics of the Fathers on the Shabbat afternoon. That's the general custom, an old custom, going back a long time. Oh ya yo ya 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 ha yirilamba ya ya yo ha yirilamba ha yirilamba ho ya ba ya ba ya yimbamba ho ya ya ba ya bamba ho ya ya yo ya ya yo Moshe kibel Torah miSinai musaral Yeshua. Moshe received the Torah at Mount Sinai and transmitted it to Joshua, etc. V'yadua diyuk kvot k'tushat mori v'chomi admur b'zeh. It's known the point that the previous Rebbe makes about this. B'dibur ha-matchil Moshe kibel d'shnat tavshin bet. In his discourse, which begins in the same way which he said in 1942. That was in America. In 1940, he managed to leave Europe and to be saved from Europe and came to America, and in 1942 he said this discourse. And the question he asks in the discourse with the same title, Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai, Moshe accepted, received the Torah from Sinai. Mipnei ma omer kan Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai. Why does it say Moshe accepted, Moshe received the Torah from Sinai? At first sight, you would think it should have said, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu natan et haTorah leMoshe." God gave the Torah to Moshe. So that's one question. Why does it say Moshe received the Torah instead of saying God gave the Torah? Ve'od medayek sham, and another point he makes there, "Dehine b'mishnah zu," in this mishnah, Chashuv inyan v'ofan kabbalat haTorah, it speaks about the manner of receiving the Torah and its chaining, its transmission from generation to generation. Dezer mashakatuv, that's what it says. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, Moshe received the Torah at Sinai, Masarali Yeshua, and he transmitted it to Joshua, v'Yeshua lizakenim, and Joshua to the elders. Dekai al Mesoret v'kabalat haTorah shebal peh kula. This is really talking about the transmission and the receiving of the oral Torah in entirety. Ulefi zeh, according, if that's the case, hayu tzrichim likboa mishnah zu. This mishnah should have been put betchilat kol shesham sidrei mishnah, at the very beginning of the whole mishnah. Surely this is giving the idea of the transmission of the Torah, how the oral Torah comes to be transmitted to our time. I mean, the written Torah, it's no problem. So Moshe wrote the scroll of the written Torah, and this is then copied out through the generations. But here we have the oral Torah. So it's telling us about the nature of the oral Torah and how it was transmitted to our time, or to the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who is compiling the Mishnah. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi put this little bit at the very beginning of the whole Mishnah? Why isn't this at the beginning of Masechet Brachot, to tell us, at the beginning of Zraim, to tell us what is the origin of the teachings that we are learning? And it only comes over here. Umatam kavua b'seder nizikin. Why is it put in seder nizikin, damages, which has to do with torts, with various issues in daily life? U'b'seder ze gufa b'sofo. And in this order of the mission itself, it doesn't even there come at the beginning. It's the last tractate. Bahakdamat mesechet. Bahakdamat, and it's put as the introduction. This Mishnah, these few lines that we just translated, comes as the introduction to Masechet Avot, to tractate Ethics of the Fathers. The whole Masechet Zu, which this entire tractate, Mishtai b'ma'alot midot v'hanhagat tovot, hanhagot tovot. This is talking about the importance of good ethics, good ways of behavior, the measure of a man, as Judith puts it. So those are two questions that Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the previous Rebbe, asks about this this part, this introductory passage of Pirkei Avot. Why does it say Moshe received the Torah instead of saying God gave it? And why is it put in the middle of the Mishnah at the end of Nezikin instead of at the beginning of the Mishnah? Umavai bazeh ba'mayma, and he explains in the discourse b'shem meforshei ha-Mishnah, quoting from various commentators on the Mishnah, dihi anotelet, that in fact that's precisely the point, the dafka b'masechta zu, it's this particular Masechta. Kavu Chachamim Mishnah Zu, the Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. It's in this tractate, which talks about ethics, that they put the idea of the transmission of the Torah, Lomar Lecha, in order to tell us, Shahamidot Vahamosarim Shebezu HaMasechet, the measure of a man, the ethical and moral concepts that are being expressed in this tractate, Lo badu otam chokhmei ha-mishnah milibam. They're not something that was invented by the sages of the Mishnah from their own hearts, creatively, as it were. Kmo sheyesh midot u-musarim mechokhmei umot ha-olam, just as there are different ethical concepts and moral themes among the sages of the nations of the world. Eila af elu nemru misinai. But these two were said at Sinai. So in other words, these ethical teachings have an absolute dimension to them. They come from Sinai, just as there are absolute teachings about different aspects of Jewish law, what one can eat and not eat, how one should behave or not behave on Shabbat, things of this kind, which come from the infinite divine. So too, these ethical qualities also have the same, these ethical teachings are not relativistic ethics, they're absolute ethics. That's the point that the commentators on the Mishnah are expounding. And so therefore, as an introduction to these ethics, it mentions the chain of transmission from Sinai to emphasize that these are absolute spiritual ethics which have a reality in every time and in every place. And we can't just say, oh, well, it's a different fashion now, people think in different ways, we don't need to have this particular concept. Just the same as with any law in the Torah, it is an absolute teaching from the divine. We can't say it's out of date. It may be that it doesn't apply now for some reason. For example, there are laws which only exist when there is a Bet Din or a Sanhedrin, a functioning Sanhedrin. If we don't have a functioning Sanhedrin, so we can't do certain things that they did in the time when there was the Sanhedrin. There are certain laws which only a Jewish king anointed with the anointing oil is able to carry out. So we can't do those laws either. There are laws which depend on the temple standing. However, the laws which we keep are laws which come from Hashem, and Hashem also gave the power to the sages to add takanot, to enactments, and gzeirot, and decrees. But that is all part of a structure which itself is part of this transmission from Sinai. So he's answered the second question, in a sense, to a certain extent. He's answered the second question, why, or maybe this is another issue. Perhaps this is really another issue. He's explained why this line of introduction comes at the beginning of Tractate Ethics. It's still, and so I suppose in a sense that explains why it is not at the very beginning of the Oral Torah, of the Mishnah, because this transmission of the law belongs with Tractate Ethics, and you can then understand why ethics is in Nezikin, because Nezikin is that section of the Mishnah which has to do with human relationships. The other sections of the Mishnah are all things to do with laws basically between man and God. Even Zra'im, seeds, which is agricultural law, which largely has to do with giving charity, but the way in which one gives charity, that you give a corner of the field, or you have to give a tenth of the produce in charity, then there's mixed seeds, which is all more obviously between man and God. So much of it are spiritual laws, even though the result is that you give charity to someone. And similarly with Moed, the next tractate, where it has to do with festivals, Shabbat and festivals. And the third order of the Mishnah is women to do with marriage and divorce. It's a very specific area of halakha. There are other tractates there as well, the Nazirite vows and so on. But it's fairly specific areas of halakha. And then comes Nezikin, which damages, which is generally about human relations and problems in my ox scoring someone else's ox. So in that comes ethics of the fathers. So that we can understand. And this introductory line helps us understand that the ethics taught in ethics of the fathers also come from Sinai. Okay, so that is really what one would find looking at the commentators on the Mishnah, but it happens to be quoted in the previous Rebbe's discourse and in the Rebbe's discourse here. You notice note 4 says which commentator on the Mishnah? Reish Ayin Beit. Reish Ayin Beit stands for Rab Ovadia Bat Nura. So that's a famous commentary on the Mishnah, Ovadia Bat Nura. So the name of many of these commentators have been lent to kosher wine. So there's Bat Nura wine, there's Rashi wine. Oh. So if one doesn't learn the Bat Nura, at least one can drink Bat Nura wine. So now then we have the final 2.5 lines, or 1 or 2 lines, which are here in this paragraph. So the focus is on God giving the Torah to Moshe, or Moshe receiving the Torah at Sinai. V'hine yedua ma she'amru razel. Now it's known what the sages said. She'goel rishon hu goel acharon. The first redeemer is the final redeemer. And according to this, yesh l'kasher inyan, one might connect the concept, the theme of Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. The Moshe hu goel rishon. Moshe is the first redeemer, redeeming the Jewish people from Egypt. And we can link this im gilui ta'amei Torah with the revelation of the inner meaning of Torah. Al yedei Mashiach tzidkenu, by through Mashiach, le'atid lavo, in the future. Now, it gives a string of references over here. And one of them is Rashi on Shir HaShirim. And let's just have a look at that. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. One second. And this image is given about the fact that Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people and spoke with them face to face. And that expression of love is still pleasant, is still beautiful, more than any kind of delight. And they are promised, the Jewish people are promised by him, again to appear to them, to explain to them the secret of the meanings and the mystery of the hidden aspects of the Torah. And they are expecting this. They're expecting him to keep his word. And that's what it means. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Okay? So that is a erotic image of the Jewish people in relation to the divine. And the giving of the Torah is a beautiful embrace from God. And we're expecting a further embrace when a deeper dimension of the Torah will be expressed. An inner dimension of the Torah, which will be expressed the way this is understood as being when Mashiach comes, that there will be a deeper revelation of the deeper dimension of the Torah.
So Rabbi Gordon mentioned something quite nice from the Seder. I don't know where he got it, but said, you know, when we break for the matzah for the afikomen, there's a bigger piece and a smaller piece. He said, the smaller piece is the revealed Torah that we have now, and the other bigger piece is what's going to be revealed when Mashiach comes.
Mm.
That's a remez to
it. Yeah. Oh, nice. That's nice. And in fact, we continue with this theme in the next paragraph. Olahavin calls in to understand all of this. Yesh lahaktim, we have to consider first Mashagabi HaTorah de la'atid lavo. It says about the Torah of the future, k'tiv, it's written, Torah chadasha mi'iti teitzeh, a new Torah will come from me, it says in Isaiah. Now, v'od amru, and another thing that was said by the sages, she'torat olam hazeh, that the Torah of this world, Hevel hu, hevel he, is hevel, like hevel avalim, vanity of vanities. It's just the breath. Legabi torato shel Mashiach, compared with the Torah of Mashiach, kedita bekohelet rabba, as it says in Kohelet Rabba. And it's interesting that the footnote here gives two references to Kohelet Rabba. And it's on a verse. It's on the pasuk in Kohelet 11:8, as it says over there. Now 11:8, that if a man lives many years, he should rejoice in all of them and remember the days of darkness, because in he should remember these days of darkness, all the vanity which is in those days, and then he will come to this time of light. Now this is interpreted by the Midrash as referring the days of darkness of this world and the time of light, when the darkness will be transformed into light, that is now. And then it goes on to say in verse, and then it speaks about rejoicing with the rejoicing of the Torah. The next words are, rejoice, O youth. So the Midrash says, you should remember the days of darkness. Those are the days of evil. But there will be the rejoicing of Torah, that the person, for the Torah which a person learns in this world is like hevel, is like vanity, or like nothing, in a sense, compared with the Torah of Mashiach. And so there is this concept that this further expression of love that we saw from Rashi explaining Song of Songs, so that further expression of love will be a much more intimate and profound expression. So here we have two dimensions of Torah, the Torah of now and the Torah of the future, although both in a sense were given at Mount Sinai, but we are experiencing one dimension of the Torah now, and there will be then further levels revealed. Because the Nosaf Lezeshi Torah Da'achshav, because in addition to the fact there will be the Torah which we have at the moment, Da'atorah Hinitzchit, because the Torah is eternal, V'yadua Hapitgam, as is known, the saying Shematam Torah Hayarak Pa'amachad, the giving of the Torah was only once. Hinei Nosaf Lezeh, in addition to that, Ye'od Torah Chadasha, there will be a new Torah, a new dimension of Torah revealed. Or kamo shekatuv, as it says in Isaiah, Hinei Yaskil Avdi, my servant, that means Mashiach in particular, and Israel as relating to that servant, my servant will understand. V'ram v'nisav v'gavoa ma'od, he will be exalted, he will be very high, he will be very great. V'ita v'midrash tanchuma, and it explains in the Midrash Tanchuma, Yarum me'Avraham, he will be greater than Abraham, v'nisam Moshe, higher than Moses, or somewhere else it says, Sheyeh Navi Karov leMoshe, that Mashiach will be a prophet similar to Moshe, like Moshe. So that means, going over the page, V'hainu shegilui haTorah shal yedei Mashiach tzidkenu, the revelation of Torah through Mashiach, Yeh lemaila afilu miMoshe, will be even above Moshe. Now that sounds striking, but in fact we have a story in the Talmud which helps us understand this. Ve'ein ze pele, and this is actually not surprising, as we see from the following incident in the Torah, in the Talmud, because we learn Shahare b'gmara menachot. Now it's in Menachot 29b. We have a famous story. And the story goes like this. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. At the time that Moshe went up on high, on Mount Sinai, he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was sitting and tying crowns to the letters, to the Hebrew letters. Moshe said to God, Master of the universe, what are you doing? So God said to him, there is a certain person who will live after many generations. His name is Rabbi Akiva. He will explain on every one of these crowns many, many different ideas. So the crowns on the letters are what we call the tagin. In fact, the Talmud over here gives you illustration of the tagin. You see the Tosafot. You see those pictures of letters with the little crowns on the letters. So those are the crowns. Tosafot is there giving an example of what is meant. Oh, thank you. Okay. So thank you very much. So, and his name is Rabbi Akiva, and he's going to teach the meaning of these crowns on the letters. Moshe said to God, Master of the universe, show him to me. God said to him, move backwards. He moved back, and he moved back like Zup. He moved 1500 years forward. And there he was in the place where Rabbi Akiva was teaching. And he went and sat at the end of the eighth row. The point being that the teacher stands over here, and then there are rows, semicircles of disciples round the teacher. And the eighth row was like the back row, and Moshe went and sat at the end of the back row. So there he is, listening to Rabbi Akiva. He's moved through time into the future, and there he is listening to Rabbi Akiva, who taught after the destruction of the Second Temple. So here he is 60 years after the destruction of the Second Temple, or so, 40 years, and there's Rabbi Akiva teaching. So so he's listening to Rabbi Akiva, and he couldn't understand it. He didn't know what he was saying. Rabbi Akiva's there teaching about these tagin, presumably, about the crowns on the letters, and Moshe didn't know what he was talking about. And he felt weak. What's happened? Have they adopted another Torah? Have they abandoned the Torah I received from God? Then, suddenly, Rabbi Akiva says, the students say to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, where do you get all these ideas from? They're asking the same question that's in Moshe's mind. Amalahen, he said, all this is halacha leMoshe miSinai. This is all a transmission that we have from Moshe at Mount Sinai. So Moshe was appeased, and then he comes back towards God, and the story goes on. It's a very beautiful and deep story, but we'll just take that part of it. It's in Menachot 29b to look at it further. But let's now go back to what it says in the discourse about this. So he sat at the end of the eighth row, that's on the third line, the middle of the line, v'tashash kocho. He sat besof v'haya Moshe yoshev v'shomeh mipi Rabbi Akiva. Moshe was sitting and hearing from Rabbi Akiva, and he sat besof shmona shorot, he sat at the end of the eighth row, v'tashash kocho, and he felt weak, ad sheshalu l'Rabbi Akiva, until they asked Rabbi Akiva, ha minayin lach, where do you get these ideas? V'amar shi'alacha l'Moshe miSinai, it is a transmission from Moshe at Sinai. Moshe was appeased, and now comes an interesting explanation of this, which there's a sicha from the Rebbe all about, and here it's put in brief. Perush advarim, an explanation. This is a very fascinating idea, the whole concept of the oral Torah, and what does it mean, Moshe receiving the oral Torah and transmitting it. Quite a few modern articles have been written about this passage in the Talmud and what it means about Moshe and about the nature of the Torah. So here the Rebbe is giving the following explanation. Ki af shekol ma shetalmid vatik, even though we have a tradition which is in the Midrash, and it's a very important tradition relating to the authority we ascribe to the oral Torah, even though shekol ma shetalmid vatik, everything that a seasoned student, atid lechadesh, will ever say as a new idea in discussion with his teacher, this nitan Moshe Sinai, this was given to Moshe at Mount Sinai, and it gives a few references for this idea in footnote 16 in the Talmud and Midrash. Hine ha-perush was there, but the meaning of that idea is Hu shele Moshe nitnu b'Sinai, what was given to Moshe at Sinai? Haklalim, general principles. V'haklalim leklalim, and meta principles, not just general principles, but general principles of the general principles, meta principles. Umeze lamdu achakach hachachamim, and from these principles and meta principles, the sages learn b'chol dor, in every generation, b'yud gimel midot shatorah nidreshet bahem, in the 13 methods by which the Torah is explained, which we have in the Siddur. There is a section with the 13 ways in which the Torah is taught, that moving from the written Torah to the oral Torah, or belamed beit midot, and somewhere else it speaks about 32 modes of transformation of the written into the oral Torah. From that they learn et pirtei ha'inyanim, all the different details. So in other words, we have a transmission from Moshe, which are general principles, and from those general principles come all the details, but it's the chain of sages who are bringing those principles out, bringing the details out of explaining the details from the general principles. And the idea that the sages have this power is also written in the written Torah, in Sedra Shoftim, the idea that if you have any kind of doubt, you should go to the sages of your time, and they will tell you what to do, and you should follow their teaching. So the Torah builds the sages, the system of explanation of the sages, into its own system. V'al derech zeh, and in a similar way, yugam legabei haTorah shel yedei Mashiach. You can also say regarding the Torah, which will be taught by Mashiach, Shalav Amru, about whom it said, Hinei Yaskil Avdi, that he will be very, very wise with a tremendous, new, boundless level of understanding, Shahapchatim Yu Chadashim. There will be new details that we never heard before. Okay, it'll all come from Moshe, but the details will be new. Or you can follow what it says, that the verse says, "V'yeter mizu," or even more, "Shiyeh b'chinat Torah chadasha legamrei." That in some sense, although it all goes back to Mount Sinai, there will be some new dimension of Torah being revealed, because the principles are only for certain dimensions of Torah. Those principles. Those details, those are basically concerning the halachic dimension of the Torah. But then you have more esoteric dimensions of the Torah, which go beyond and beyond. And so you could have new dimensions of Torah, which we can call a completely new Torah, even though it is all coming from God, ultimately at Sinai, but going higher and higher in that transmission. As the sages said, also in the same tractate, Menachot, but at a different part, Yavo Tov Ze Moshe, let the one who is good, which is Moshe, V'yekabel Tov Zu Torah, and receive that which is good, which is the Torah, Mitov Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he, from the one who is good, who is God. So in other words, there's goodness. And we're talking about the person who is good, Moshe, receiving the Torah, which is good, from Hashem, who is good. And it says in various Hasidic tracts, such as a book called Gate of Faith, The avshim by the second Obama Chereva, the avshim of furash ka mitov ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it says tov means God, mikol makom, this is kai ze al gilui haTorah de la'atid al yedei Mashiach Tzidkenu. This is talking about the way from Hashem, from a very exalted dimension of godliness, will be revealed the Torah of the future through Mashiach, who is Moshe. In that Moshe is the first redeemer and the first teacher, and he is the final redeemer. That's why it says the good receives from the good. Moshe Rabbeinu is Shehu Pnimiyut Abba. He is the inwardness of wisdom. Mekabel mibchinat Pnimiyut Atik. He receives from a deeper, a higher level. Hagilui Shal Yedei Mashiach Tzidkenu, the revelation through Mashiach. So this is a deeper revelation of Torah, even than the level that was revealed by Moshe, which is the inwardness of wisdom. But we go to an even higher level, the inwardness of Keter. This is, so we're moving from Chochmah, from wisdom, to Keter, and everything to do with Mashiach is actually a revelation of Keter. And that is a way to understand the whole redemptive dimension of Jewish thought and of Kabbalistic thought, that it's a revelation of Keter. There is a book in English by the Rebbe called On the Essence of Hasidus, on the essence of what Hasidic teachings are. And he discusses the idea of four levels of interpretation of Torah: Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, the Pardes, the orchard of Torah, the simple level, the hint, the deeper discussion, and the secret, and the secret level. And he shows that at each of those four levels, there is an aspect that's from Keter. There is a higher dimension in each of them, and that's the Hasidic dimension. So the Hasidic dimension is tapping into an exalted redemptive dimension. And so here, it's really about even Moshe, in that sense, in a certain sense, receiving from that higher level. And that's why that answers the first question, that it's not just God giving the Torah, it's Moshe receiving the Torah. It's Moshe receiving the Torah at its highest levels so that it can be transmitted all the way down through the generations, including to the time of Mashiach, when the most exalted levels, which are received by Moshe. So the important issue is not that God gives the Torah. There's a sense in which God is the Torah. The Torah is an emanation from God. The question is whether we can receive the Torah. And the fact that Moshe is able to receive the Torah, including its very highest levels, which then gets transmitted down through the generations and is somehow hidden within our Torah, that and will ultimately be revealed, that's really what is being focused on at this beginning of Pirkei Avot. Right, next paragraph. V'hine, and behold, l'chorat, first sight. Tzarich la'avin, we have to understand. Tama dava, the reason. Why in the future should be a revelation of a new Torah? Why do you have to have a new Torah in the future? And this can be explained this, according to what it says in the discourse, which was said in a discourse about the verse, He, God, wears radiance like a robe. Beautiful image. He wears radiance like a robe, and the previous Rebbe said a discourse on this in 1940. And that discourse was said, Shenebah b'Shabbat Kedoshim, on the Shabbat of Kedoshim, like our Shabbat. But va'az, that year, 1940, Haita kviyut k'b'shanazu, the way that the year, the way the calendar was like the same way as the time that this discourse was said, which is not the same as ours. The discourse was said in 1984, when it was the same as in 1940, but our way, our calendar is just slightly different. We have Acharei and Kedoshim together, and it's a little bit later in the month, whereas at that time Kedoshim was before Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Now, what does it explain in that discourse? the inyana shel Torah. What is Torah? Torah is not just God's commands. I mean, Torah functions in that way, that we learn Torah and that's how we know what God is commanding us to do. But it's actually more than that, it's more subtle. The nature of Torah, Shehim Mutsa ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Torah is an intermediary between God and the Jewish people, on the one hand, Uvein O Ein Sof LeOlamot, on the other, and between the radiance of the Ein Sof, of the infinite, and the worlds. So in other words, Torah joins God to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people to God, and the Torah also bonds the radiance of the infinite to the downchaining of the worlds, because the world comes into existence from the Torah. And that's an interesting aspect of existence, that existence itself emanates from the Torah, because in the Torah it describes the creation of the world, and those lines, those verses of the Torah are in fact an intense expression of the energy which creates, the spiritual energy which creates the world. V'zeu inyan ote or kasalma note shemaim kayiria. That's why it said God wears radiance like a robe and he stretches out the heavens like a curtain. The kayia la Torah shehi bevchinat mumutza. And this radiance and this curtain is the Torah, which is the intermediary between God and existence and God and the Jewish people. And so with this we can understand that in the future when Mashiach comes, there will be a revelation of a new dimension of Torah. Why? Because everything else will be renewed, everything else will be on a higher level. Just as in the future there will be an extra exaltation, something new and special in the world, in the universe. Bechinat shamayim chadashim ve'eretz chadasha, as it says in Isaiah, new heavens and a new earth. In other words, we will see the heavens and the earth in a new way. The inner spiritual life force which is there will be revealed, and the nature of physical existence will be different. Physical existence will not be harmful. At this point, physical existence has various negative aspects to it. It's quite dangerous. We live on a little patch of safety much of the time, and then unfortunately, occasionally, too often, there are dangerous things and dangerous results, whether it's tsunamis destroying thousands of people's lives, or
human beings.
Well, human beings are another problem. Human beings is here it's just a fact of nature.
All right.
Nature itself. Human beings is another issue. But here is the fact of microbes, of poisonous creatures like a scorpion. So Isaiah says, in the time of Mashiach, a child will be able to put its hand over the nest of a scorpion and nothing will harm. Now the sages discuss what that means, and there's quite a strong current of opinion that this is a metaphor, and what it means is the people are the problem, and it means that the wolf will dwell with the lamb. So the idea that in the future, it doesn't mean that wolves won't devour lambs, it means that the devouring quality of humanity will stop being like that, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb. But there is another current of opinion, such as Nachmanides, who takes literally these teachings and says it actually means that nature will have a new dimension to it. Since we're, people are worried about swine flu, it's interesting that there is a passage quite frequently repeated. It's in the Talmud and Midrash, that in the future when Mashiach comes, swine will be kasher. So there are different ways of understanding this, one being that the animal we now call a pig will change certain of its anatomical qualities so that it will become kasher. That's one way of understanding.
And the other is that everybody's life will be so endangered that in order to continue to live, we can eat four of the
other fish. Okay, so it's not clear from swine flu whether eating or not eating pork is the most safe strategy physically. But
oh no, that's quite clear. I don't mean that. I mean anything is kosher
when life is in danger.
Yes, sure.
Yes, but the time of Mashiach will be a time of plenty. So, so it won't be a time of danger. That's it. But there we have the transformation of the world. There'll also be a transformation of the Jewish people. And that's what it means, that when it says about Mashiach v'gavoh ma'od, that he'll be very exalted. So he'll be exalted, more exalted, says in Hasidic teachings. Mashiach will be in some sense more exalted than Adam. Because the word ma'od is the same letters as Adam. Adam ma'od. But it will be a transformation not only of Mashiach, but of the Jewish people of whom Mashiach is part. And there will also be certain transformations of all human beings. So, in that case, if there is a transformation of the Torah and of the Jewish people, Kein tzarich liyot ilui v'chidush gam b'Torah, there will be a exaltation and renewal also in Torah. Mishum shehiya memutza beino ensof l'olamot, since the Torah is the intermediary between God and the world, ubein HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael, and between God and the Jewish people. So therefore, in the time of Mashiach, everything will be elevated in the higher level, including the Torah. Omnom, however, adayin tzarich biyo, we still need the explanation. Shari mezeh, shagile de tocha chadasha hi al yedei Mashiach, since the revelation of this new Torah is through Mashiach. Shemashiach umagale oto, because Mashiach will reveal it. Harimuvan shemashiach od na'aleh mizeh. That means Mashiach in some sense is on a higher level than that revelation, because it is the spiritual dimension which reveals this quality of Torah. But tzarich la'avin ha'inyan b'zeh, let's try and understand this. But and v'acha'inyan hu, we can understand it as follows. Dehine nosaf l'zeh sh'atorah imumutza b'en ha'kadosh baruch hu v'yisrael. In addition to the idea that the Torah is the intermediary between God and Israel, k'may me'yisrael b'oraita b'kudsh b'lichu kul echad, as it says in the Zohar, the Jewish people, the Torah, and God are all one. Hainu, that means sh'akeshed yisrael l'kudsh b'lichu, that the link between the Jewish people and God, who al yedei Torah, is by means of Torah. Hine yesh v'Yisrael inyan na'ale yoter. The Jewish people actually have some extra quality. L'mayle gam me'oraita v'kutsh b'lichu, mibchilet oraita v'kutsh b'lichu kol echad, even higher than this level. Higher than the level of God, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. Now, one of the things here is, what it's moving towards is that the inner nature of the Jewish people is something which is a inner dimension of Torah, and it's really an expression of the divine. And so there is a sense in which it's the Jewish people who are linking the Torah to God. See, you can have three circles. I'm not sure I can draw this. And so you can say, here's God, and here's Torah, and here is Yisrael, the Jewish people. So on one level, you've got God, the Torah, and the Jewish people. So if you go that way round, the Torah is the intermediary between God and the Jewish people. But you can also think of it the other way around, that the Jewish people are the intermediary between God and the Torah. That through, if I draw it in another color.
Torah,
we've
got it.
You got it. that God through Israel connects with the Torah. We are drawing the godliness into the Torah, or we are connecting the Torah to God. Because the interesting thing about the Torah is the Torah is about Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and then you have the oral Torah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva. It's all the Jewish people and what they are doing or saying, and that is expressing godliness and drawing it into the Torah, the manifestation of the Torah. So therefore we have a very interesting genre of Midrash. Ukamaimar azal b'chama midrashim, as the sages say in quite a number of different midrashim, and there's a whole list of them in note 25. Shemachshavtan shel Yisrael kodma l'chol davar. The thought of the Jewish people came before everything. Afilu l'Torah, even before the Torah. Shenema, and that's why, when the Torah was expressed, what does it say in the Torah? Tzaved b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people. Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people. The focus of the Torah is the Jewish people. So it's the Jewish people first, and then the Torah is talking about them. D'inyan ze b'chol ha'dagot shebetorah. And that concept applies to all levels of Torah. Gam b'dalga achinai l'tshuba, even at the highest level of Torah, which is the araisa v'kutshu b'licha kulachad, the idea that Torah and God are one, still at that point you have Shenem abad, Tzavet b'nei Yisrael, Dabel b'nei Yisrael. Even in that exalted level of Torah, Torah being unified with God, you still have the concept of Am Yisrael in the middle of the Torah. Umuvah mizeh, and from this we can understand, She Yisrael heim lemayle gam midag azusha b'Torah, that even that exalted level needs the Jewish people as some kind of intermediary. Uchanoda, as we come to another strain of Midrashic thought, Sheyisrael nikru'u banim lamakom, the Jewish people are called children of God. Ve'od zot sheheim kamo haben terem shenolad. And there's even the concept that, as the second leader of Hasidism, Rabbi Mizritcha Magid, said, they are like the child before he is born. Mishum sheheim mushashim ba'atzmuto u'mahuto mamash. They are rooted and embedded in the very essence of the divine. That's what makes the Jewish people such complex people, because we have this exalted spiritual source. And then we come down and we inhabit the physical world in physical bodies. So there's an exalted spiritual dimension in a very material dimension as well. And you have those two coming together, which is in a sense, deeply paradoxical. And as such,
why is it only Jewish people?
You see, the nations of the world, in a sense, they're part of the world. They have...
Jewish people aren't part of the world?
Well, you see, let me tell you about Moshe, for example. About Moshe, it says that his soul came from a higher level, because his role was to come into the world and transmit Torah to the world.
And so that's...
So that's what it means.
One interpretation of Jewish people, which...
That's why it says he's drawn from the water. As if he's from the water beyond the world, and drawing from the water beyond the world, he comes into the world and has a function in relation to the world. Now there's a sense in which that applies to Jewish people as a whole, but we still are like the rest of the world in our physical bodies, in our characters, in many different qualities. However, there is the extra dimension of this spiritual essence, which for most of us is unconscious, and we don't bring it into play. But it is an energy at the heart of every Jew.
I haven't noticed any difference between Jews and non-Jews in any way, and I probably have had as much to do with non-Jews as anybody around.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may not be visible.
Visible and invisible.
Yes, but the differences may not be visible.
And this rationalization for a lot of things may also be but that
the rationalization for a lot of things might be,
well, it's an, I can see that it's a basic belief for Judaism and for Orthodox Jews and believing Jews, but I can see that it is problematic also very much for Jews who are not believing Jews. But you don't believe there is such a thing as a Jew who doesn't unconsciously believe because they're Jewish and born Jewish. So we're back to that.
Well, I certainly understand that many Jews are very uncomfortable about the idea of the blessing on the Torah.
Not which the blessing we say. On the Torah.
Well, the blessing on the Torah says that God has chosen us among the nations of the world. So that, from that concept, when one sees it in the Talmudic, Midrashic, Kabbalistic sense, there one has the whole idea of this special.
There was a special way of the leaders understanding the literacy and liberation, and you can look at it in all kinds of different ways. Mm. Just as you're playing this pill-pull game, mm-hmm. I can call it, mm-hmm. of these different ways, the farish, the whole, each rabbi adding and changing variations on the themes and nuances, and it's very brilliant. And yes, maybe it's correct, maybe, and I think often it is, and can't quibble with it, but in the same way, I think if you look at it in its time and what it meant, you can look at it in other ways similarly. You can use many different ways of looking at it, and one of them is to look at it as in the historical time in which it happened. In those eons, yes, it was necessary, but so many other religions and belief systems have the same, we are chosen for this and we are chosen for that, that I can't accept it.
Well, sometimes the multiplicity of images can confuse an issue.
Sometimes they can clarify.
Yes. And the question is what the Jewish people are chosen for. They're chosen to bring the world and the rest of humanity to a higher spiritual level.
Well, so do the other religions think that.
Well, some may. Of the famous religions, they generally think that everyone has to convert to Christianity, or everyone.
I'm not talking about Christianity. For me, Christianity is a non-starter, an absolute debasement of Judaism. You know, an absolute misinterpretation, a complete catastrophe. It's the last religion I'm thinking of, and it's a minority religion in terms of the major religions. All the monotheisms are minor religions in relation to the major religions of mankind. You know, so please forget Christianity. I'm not into that kind of issue at all. I'm thinking of other things. Buddhism, Jainism, Hinduism, which are all completely different. And animism, animistic African, from which Judaism may have derived.
Well, maybe Judaism helps us understand the different ways in which people think and exist.
It has, certainly. It's developed all the modern fields. But using those modern fields which developed out of Judaism, one can also look at Judaism in certain ways that I'm, say, suggesting. Are different pirushim in a similar vein to that that's used in this kind of discourse, the Lubavitcher discourse, or the Hasidic discourse, or even Pirkei Avot, all the Oral Torah. It can be looked at as an extension of the Oral Torah, and
then come back to doubting some of the Pirushim, accepting them, but arguing with them?
Well, one can argue with them in order to find further dimensions of what they actually mean. You have to be able to
think in order to internalize them. On that we're agreed. But it doesn't detract from that I think there's universality and unconscious spirituality, if you like, in everybody, whether it's Judaism or not, and that these others also come with their spiritual teachings and a higher way of reaching.
Well, and what Judaism...
I'm not detracting from certain spiritual people, even within Christianity's, you know, different times, the Tayyar de Chardin's, for instance, who were considered heretics in their way and came close to Judaism, I think, in some respects, though they never could altogether get away from the insanity as I see it, which you said again, God in human form, why choose one man, for goodness sake?
Yeah, well, I mean, looking at these teachings about B'ni B'chori Yisrael, my son, my firstborn Israel, which is a verse in the Tanakh, in the Bible, you can see how Christianity takes a Jewish concept and, in a sense, vulgarizes it and puts it in a very coarse way.
Well, I see it differently, but also, it doesn't matter what I think.
Of course it does.
No, it doesn't really.
Well, the point is that we have here very subtle teaching, which we are
accept that it's only because you happen to have a certain genetic makeup and are born to a Jewish mother or converted to something and therefore accepted as Jewish, do you have this
special spiritual responsibility?
Yes, I'm sorry, I think it's a universal responsibility. If you're going to call it a responsibility.
Well, I think that's the essential thing. The Jew has a responsibility. Every human being has to express God's teaching by keeping the seven Noahide laws, which relates to their own personal lives, how they live their lives. The Jew has an extra dimension, and the extra dimension are the things which distinguish Judaism from the seven Noahide laws. For example, the laws of Kashrut.
I understand all of that. I don't necessarily accept all of that at all.
But by the fact that the
Jew... I don't think it makes me less Jewish.
No, not at all. The fact that a Jew eats kosher is having some kind of transforming effect on existence as a whole. That's the Jewish and Kabbalistic concept.
I don't accept that.
Well, that's right in the middle of all Kabbalistic thought, is the transformative power of the observance of the mitzvah. See,
I understand that that is for the believer, but to me it makes the believer the same as the believer in any other particular set of whatever it is, the need to believe in the absolute of a certain way of being in life as having more meaning, very important for the people who are there, and I respect it and perhaps envy it, but I can't accept it as a universal. We've been through this many times, so please let's get on.
Alright. Now, we're now in the middle of this paragraph. Um, V'odzot. Right, the idea of Israel, the Jewish people, as the child before he or she is born, being embedded in the very essence of the divine, umitzad inyan zeh, because of this, Yisrael po'alim u'mamshichim ba'torah. The Jewish people have the power or the responsibility to draw godliness into the Torah. So they, in other words, are the link which enables that flow to flow from godliness into the Torah. Ulefichach, and therefore, gilui Torah chadasha de'latid lavo, the revelation of the new Torah of the future, hudavka al yidei Mashiach, comes through the Messiah, Shehumi Yisrael, who is part of the Jewish people. He's the essence of the Jewish people. Ki hu b'chinat ha-yechida klalit, because he is the general yechida. There are five levels of the soul, and Mashiach and certain people live at the level of their soul, divine soul. Most people, in fact, don't. But there are some people who live at the first level of their soul, and some fewer who live at the second level, the third level, the fourth level, the fifth level. Mashiach is at least at the level of the fifth level of the soul, and even more, he's even higher than that fifth level, because as is known by the fact that Yechida, it's just one of the five names that the soul is called. But in Hasidic thought, we have again and again the idea that beyond the name is the essence. Aval etzem haneshama, but the essence of the soul, hu lemaile gam mizeh, is beyond this, even this. Val derech ze Mashiach, and so too with Mashiach, hu etzem shelemaile mibchinet shemot, is the essence beyond names. V'gilu inyan zeh, and the revelation of this, Mashiach is not just the person who is Mashiach. Mashiach is a quality within everyone else as well. Because the coming of Mashiach means a transformation of every Jew so that they live on this level, which is the level of Yechida, or even higher, the essence of the soul. And the revelation of this in the Jewish people, Yeh La'atid, will be in the future. And umizeh, and from this, Yumshach gam b'Torah, it will flow also into the Torah. And that will be what is called the Torah Chadasha Mi'itit Teitze, what Isaiah calls the new Torah which will come from God. V'hinei, mikivan she'inyan zeh, since this concept, the exaltation of the Jewish people of the future, Yumshach b'Yisrael kafi shem neshamot begufim, will be expressed in the Jewish people as they are souls in bodies. Ukmavua b'lekutei Torah Pashat Tzav, as explained in Hasidic teachings, that the psak halacha, as the sages state, the ikar ushlemut hascha vagiluim de la'atid, the real ultimate fulfillment and reward and of the revelations of the future, yudafka b'neshamot begufim, means being physical people, souls in bodies. Va'al derech zeh, and similar to that, yumshach ha-gilui de Torah chadasha, the revelation of the new Torah will be drawn lamata below ba'olam hazeh ha-tachton dafka, into this lower world. Now, all these revelations depend on our actions during the time of exile, and especially the 6,000 years of the existence of the world until we come to the Sabbath of the world, the Shabbat of the world, in the seventh millennium. And the main service that we have is Avodat HaBirurim, third line at the bottom of the page, the service of sifting of the sparks of Tohu, of chaos, which fell in the breaking of the vessels. And what it explains here is that the breaking of the vessels were in the six midot, or the seven midot of Tohu, and so therefore, lefichach, and therefore, the main service is the sifting of the seven midot, the seven measures of man, which means the conquest of the seven nations in the land of Israel, that entering into the land of Canaan, the Jewish people had to conquer those seven nations, and that corresponds to the seven emotions, qualities, or measures within the person that have to be transformed into holiness. And this power to transform them comes from the essence of the soul. So therefore, from this messianic redemptive level, which is the point where the essence of the soul is bonded with God, from that comes the power in each of us to transform our own inner being and make it into something luminous and sacred. And so therefore, this goes back to a verse, V'ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei ha-mayim, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, it says in Bereshit, and the sages say about this, Zu Rucho shel Mashiach, this is the Spirit of Mashiach. And that means the Spirit of Mashiach was then there revealed at the time of the creation of the world, because it's from that level of bonding with God that there is the Netinat Koach, the giving of power, the empowerment in the service of every individual. There it says al pnei hamayim, above the water, on the face of the water, above the level of concealment. The water represents concealment. But the revelation of this is through Torah. And that's what it means Moshe received the Torah from Har Sinai, from Mount Sinai. Moshe is the first Redeemer and the final Redeemer. He received the Torah from Sinai, and he draws it into this world. And that's what it means he received, and not that God gave it to him. Because the main thing here is the receiving through the one who receives, not the giving from above. Obviously God gives from above, but it's the fact of being able to receive, and that this was received below in fullness, in perfection, in wholeness. And this gives the power to the service of sifting of the vessels of the realm of chaos. That means the whole process of life in this world, where we're dealing with an ambiguous world, which has got klipot, it's got forces of impurity, and it's also got radiant sparks of holiness within those forces of impurity. And we have to, in some way, walk between the raindrops and choose the sacred spark and leave behind that which cannot be elevated. And because of this, this Mishnah is put as the introduction to tractate Avot, which is in the order Nezikin, damages, because the concept, the theme of this tractate Nezikin, which talks about subtle interactions between people and different kinds of problem and dealing with those problems, that is in fact the sifting out of the sparks which fell in the breaking of the vessels. And so therefore, tractate Avot is there, has the subject of the putting right of the measures of man, the tikkun amidot, the achievement of personal inner transformation of one's own inner qualities, because that is really what the service is. The service is that there are seven dimensions of emotional attribute within us, which we have to try to refine and purify. But we get the energy and the spiritual input to be able to do that due to our connection with the essence. And that enables us to fulfill this task to make not over the land of Canaan into the land of Israel, moving to that literally, which is a topical moment tonight, the transformation of the land of Canaan into the land of Israel, which also ultimately means the transformation of the whole world into the land of Israel in a spiritual sense, that the world itself becomes an expression of holiness, and the people living in the world keep the seven Noahide laws, and just as the scorpion will stop stinging people, so the qualities in man's heart and woman's heart will be refined and transformed so that they will not act in an evil way, and the whole world will be filled with knowledge of God. And that's what it means, the final paragraph, that Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and transmitted it down through the generations, which is talking about the transmission of the oral Torah, which was all given from Sinai. And from this there is the power to sift, to transform the entire world. And especially when we keep the teaching of the men of the Great Assembly, which is, V'ha'amidu talmidim harbeh, you should raise up many disciples. That was the end of the first Mishnah. And through that we come to what it says at the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter, that the whole world depends on three things. And on three things the world exists, of which the final one it mentions is the concept of peace, which is the wholeness of everything. And peace itself will be in a wholesome way. And that will be in the future, with the coming of Mashiach, swiftly in our time.
Prayer.
It's a prayer.
A beautiful prayer.
You're right. It's a prayer. I would say most of the Rebbe's teachings are actually prayers. Yes.
They really are complicated prayers, but prayers.
Yes, they are like the story that the Zohar says, that they came to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, and there was a drought and there was no rain. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said a teaching on the verse, Hine matov u'manayim shevet achim gam yachad. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together. And when he concluded the teaching, the rain began to fall.
Now, how many times has that been said without the rain falling?
Well, you have to be Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai.
And sung.
True.
But certainly, I mean, one wants to say Amen.
Yes.
But every time I want to say Amen, out comes a Neni Ma'amina. Sorry. And I feel terrible. But I want to say it. Don't we? Don't we, doggy?
Don't worry.
I'm not worried.